Standing on the dais, David Franklin felt the warmth of pride as well as the Costa del Sol sunshine. The ocean breeze blended with the sharp scent of freshly cut grass and combed through his strawberry blonde hair. Behind him lay the enormous, majestic golf course, its fairways tapering towards a series of lakes, and, finally, the simmering Mediterranean Sea. Before him stood a bevy of regional and Irish journalists, a multitude of tourists and local golf enthusiasts, as well as several lieutenants and underlings of what the media were dubbing the Franklin Organized Crime Group. His identical twin, Dion, had gotten a kick out of referring to the organization as the FOC, a moniker which had spread. That morning, a cocaine hangover had cemented his brother and his hired lover to his massive black velvet bed. But the golf course being just one of a slew of grand openings of casinos, apartment complexes, strip clubs and shopping centers in the coming months, David had reluctantly agreed to stand in for him.
"You're a lazy bastard, so you're,"
he had told Dion.
"You need to learn how to blather in front of a crowd,"
came the reply from beneath the pillow. And that was that. To protect himself from his nerves, David had decided to impersonate his brash brother and not tell anyone, though some of the FOC boys probably guessed. Dion had a huskier build, and though both brothers stood an inch or two under average height, David took to wearing internal heels to elevate himself. His skin also lacked the pockmarks smattering his brother's face, though he guessed the gathering to be far enough back not to notice. Clutching a giant pair of gold-plated scissors, he filled his lungs, accentuating his now watered-down Dublin accent to match Dion's. He announced,
"Welcome to the opening of Moonray Golf, the first golf resort where a person can play day and night beneath the stadium lights, complete with fully interactive virtual reality indoor systems for those who believe fresh air is overrated."
The crowd rewarded him with a chuckle. He turned theatrically and ceremoniously cut the white satin ribbon strung between two shiny poles. A collective cheer rose from the crowd.
"Now," David continued, snapping his fingers at the head waiter.
The waiter was poised in the complex's doorway beneath its slanted terracotta roof. It struck David as odd that the head waiter seemed incapable of balancing his silver salver as elegantly or deftly as other waiters he had seen in the resort or anywhere else. He frowned as the waiter headed a procession of equally inept waiters. None looked like Spaniards or even particularly tanned. Closer still, and not only did he look too old to be a waiter, he seemed vaguely familiar. And he was staring directly at David with such defiance, it made the Dubliner's stomach lurch. David recoiled on seeing the silver salver's domed lids lifted en masse. Time slowed as the shock sank in. Beneath the lids lay guns, not the anticipated hors d'oeuvre. He turned to run, but barely got into his stride before the air split with the fury of several Ingram Mach-10 submachine guns. Four invisible hammers punched into his back to a crescendo of background screams. The thudding pain began to scorch into something more acute. He slumped to his knees. He sensed someone running towards him. Craning his neck, he gazed into the barrel of an SMG. The owner's Northern Irish-edged voice said,
"What is a man without honor, Dion?"
Those were the last words David heard.